My name is Claudine Ronquillo, and I'm an animator in the Families of Nazareth movement in Northern Colorado. Thank you for joining me as I continue to read reflections based on the Sunday scriptures, prepared by the Families of Nazareth, USA. This reflection will be for the fourth Sunday of Lent, Year B, Sunday, March 10th, 2024. We will begin with a prayer that can be used to open or close your reflection time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearest Father, your Son tells us, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I long to be your smallest child. Help me to rediscover you as the one who delights in me, who calls me as his own. My Jesus, you say to us, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You are the way to heaven. Thank you for saving me and giving me yourself in the Holy Eucharist. Reactivate the call of my baptism to serve the church in childlike humility, boasting only in God. Holy Spirit, reveal to me my weaknesses, that I may seek Jesus' strength. Reveal to me my nothingness, that I may await all things from him. Convince me of Jesus' words, what is impossible for human beings is possible for God. Blessed Mother, I entrust my prideful doubt, fear, discouragement, and ingratitude to your intercession, so that I will believe, as God's beloved child and yours, ask and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That prayer came from the Families of Nazareth Movement Summer Retreat 2010. This week I will be reading from the book Behold, I Stand at the Door and Knock by S.C. Bila, pages 5 and 7 through 11. We will begin our spiritual reflection with a verse from the Sunday Gospel. This is from John chapter 3, verse 21. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. And now I will read from the book, Behold, I Stand at the Door and Knock. During the initial stages of interior life, a person is very sure of himself. He is so convinced that he knows himself. He is so immersed in himself, so filled with an illusory faith in his own capabilities, that he does not even realize how many illusions and lies, often unconscious, are present in his self-image. Such a person feels that he is pure because he has worked hard at polishing the exterior of his own whitewashed tomb, his own eye. He does not even believe that something is concealed underneath this polished facade, just as the whitewashed tomb conceals that which is in it. The immense evil of our egoism is as if it were dormant and does not present any signs of activity. In front of others, we appear to be righteous, because the events of our lives have not yet been strong enough to awaken our sleeping tendencies. Therefore, it has not even crossed our minds that inside we are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. If we are able to admit to our pridefulness at this time, it is due to our human regard, our preoccupation with how others regard us. We simply believe that this is the correct thing to do. Yet, precisely this pride causes us to be frequently critical and intolerant of others. because we do not know how to look at our own selves in truth, we evaluate our surroundings in a subjective and biased way. God does not want us to remain in a lie. Therefore, the moment will come when His knocking becomes stronger and more persistent. This knocking can come in the form of events that expose our interior hypocrisy, and in the form of an extraordinary light of grace that shines on this interior hypocrisy. Then we are exposed to the genuine truth about ourselves. We can say that God, who is knocking, lifts the lid of the whitewashed tomb and a luminous beam shines into its dark interior. In one's gradual discovery of the difficult truth about himself, one can see God's great tenderness and love for the soul that could otherwise become terrified and rebel. God trusts that we will not run away from this light, but rather accept it as a gift. The gift is difficult to receive, but God must give such gifts in order to rescue the beloved soul from the unconscious lie in which it is living. When we begin to see the truth about ourselves in the divine light, we will also begin to understand that the perfection, which was the source of our self-satisfaction, was an illusion. We remove the dirt from the outside of the tomb, but what we find inside of the tomb frequently surpasses our imagination. The old sins that we thought we had overcome can become a real threat to us again. We see that in every moment our old sins can come back in even subtler forms. Maybe we will begin to commit again the sins from which we thought we were totally free. From this point on, your awareness of your sinfulness will be much deeper than the awareness you had when you first started to whitewash the tomb. You will begin to realize that by relying on your own strength, you cannot overcome the inherent evil within you. During this stage on the path to holiness, it is extremely important that you want to stand in truth before God. Your Lord desires for you to acknowledge your own misery and simultaneously attempt to trust that He does not stop loving you in spite of all your evil that horrifies you. There is one reference from the Catechism of the Catholic Church for this week, paragraph 1432. The human heart is heavy and hardened. God must give man a new heart. Conversion is first of all a work of the grace of God who makes our hearts return to Him. Quote, "Restore us to Thyself, O Lord, that we may be restored." End quote. God gives us the strength to begin anew. It is in discovering the greatness of God's love that our heart is shaken by the horror and weight of sin and begins to fear offending God by sin and being separated from Him. The human heart is converted by looking upon Him whom our sins have pierced. Three questions for reflection. Question 1. In my daily life, what is my concept of sin? Do I consider its source and my interior attitudes, or do I mainly see a list of transgressions and omissions? Question 2. When God's light reveals to me more aspects of my self-sufficiency and self-importance, what is my reaction or recourse? Question 3. In my discoveries, how can I allow myself to be embraced by my Heavenly Mother in a childlike posture? A prayer to say after sharing, "Thank you, God, for allowing me to see the truth about my weaknesses and how it calls upon the abyss of your merciful love.